Well, isn't it a great day? Wonderful day to be not only alive, but to be in God's house. There's nothing more wonderful than to be here together celebrating and praising our Lord. Had a wonderful time, as Pastor John said, last Sunday. And to us, that was just the completion of a wonderful weekend. Thinking back, many of you here came and celebrated with us our 50th wedding anniversary, which was quite a wonderful time. And then yesterday, Robin said, "Oh, the week's just gone so quick." This time last week, we were all together celebrating, and I said, "No, well, all I can remember is that it's over now and the memories are sweet." And John said, "Well, this time 50 years ago, we were out trapping rabbits. We're on our honeymoon." And we went away, and because everything we had was stolen, including our money and our airfares to Tasmania, which is where we were going for our honeymoon, we had to go down to my auntie's holiday home down at Dramana. And people took up a collection, and we had enough money to stay and feed ourselves for a couple of days. And John said, very resourceful man, "Well, if we want to stay, we'll take the traps and we'll trap rabbits." And they were 2 and 6 each, or 4 shillings a pair. And how things change. And today we can afford to pay for rabbits, and I've learned how to cook them expertly. I can cook a rabbit any way you want to ask about it. So things change. But thinking back, I was thinking about this word over the last few weeks, because I knew that I was going to be speaking. And of course, God's word, as I've said many times before, is like a smorgasbord. There is just so much there that we can choose, and there are many favourite passages, and there were things that I was thinking about. And then I was thinking about our life together over the last 50 years of marriage and a few years before, and all the things that have happened at that time. But then our son Gary came out the other, about a week ago, and he showed me this slide, and it really, really grabbed my heart. And Matthew, if you just put the first one up. And that says the old man. And you see there, it's an old tree stump. And it's all dead and gnarled, and all of the roots around it are all corroded, and it's got no further use. But the next slide, Matthew. It says new life. And so then we see the next slide, and we can see that this new life is growing out of something dead. And then the next one. And the next one. Oh, there's only that one. There was another one. But it flourishes into this huge... Just leave that up, thanks, Matthew, for now. It just flourishes into this huge tree. And the other picture shows it really, really growing. And so that speaks to me, and a culmination of that and the things that we've experienced in our life. And so this morning I want to talk to you about being resilient. You see, we sometimes look at things and we think, isn't that wonderful to see that growing up there and to see life growing out of something that was seemingly dead, or something that was by its use-by date. And yesterday we were driving up to our son's property up at Broadford, because it was Ben's birthday, so we had another celebration. And as we drove up, John and I were just like, oh, look at the land where the fires have come through. And that part of the land that we drive through had nothing of the fires in comparison to some other parts of Victoria. But even there, where the blackness had come through, you could see all these patches of green grass. But more than that, the dead trees were shooting shoots. And the old wasn't growing, it was new coming out of the old. And it was just absolutely awesome, and it makes you just think how great our God is. And you know, sometimes we look at those things and we think, well, that's great, that's what it's made for. But do you really believe that your God, my God, would give the ability to his creation of nature something greater than he's given to us? No. We should be excelling above the things of nature around us. We need to be bringing forth this exuberance, this new life, this resilience. That's what it is. That is a resilient life. And God wants each one of us to live a resilient life, abounding. You know, resilience is difficulties come upon you, struggles come upon you, but you bounce back. We are made to be like elastic, that we stretch. So many times we set out with life, and I was thinking about our marriage. And I remember the day that we were married, that things were not good at home, and many of you, I won't go into all that, but I had a very difficult time, and even the day I was married, things were very difficult. Everything around me was doing everything to stop this wedding. And my mother was very uncooperative, and as I'd fix something up, it would just be destroyed. And all I could think of was getting out of this house and going and getting married and leaving it all behind me. So I had plans and dreams that we all have, that I'd met this young man and he was going to be everything I needed. He was going to fix all of my problems. He was never going to fail me. He was never going to say no to me. Didn't I have a lot to learn? And he was never going to upset me. And our life was going to go wonderful, and we were going to work, and we were going to plan, and we have all these things that I dreamt of. And very quickly, those things were shot down on our wedding breakfast. Everything we had was stolen. Wedding presents, all my clothes, money, our air tickets, everything. And so suddenly, you're hit with the reality of life. Now, that doesn't always happen to people, and I still don't know why that happened, but it happened. So you see, we have a choice of what we're going to do. But you see, we don't always hit those things that quickly. And so we still went away. And I learned very early, while I didn't understand it all then, I do now, that my husband was a very resilient man. He'd been raised to be resilient. And I didn't realise that God was sowing those things within me too. He was sowing the heart of resilience. And you see, each one of you are born and birthed in Christ to be resilient. But many don't know it. They don't understand what it means. I often think about it when you're making bread, and I've done that many, many times, not with the new bread makers, the hard way, is to have to make my own bread. And when you put that away, put the yeast in it and cover it and put it away, you go back and you know it's ready because you put your finger into it and it bounces back. And you learn tremendous resilience. And you see, when these trials and difficulties come against us, the Lord Jesus says you bounce back. But you don't just bounce back to where you were, you become stronger. You become stronger than you were. And so through the things and the trials that we've been through, God has made us stronger, so that today we can stand and say, we praise God for his life. We praise God for our love and our marriage that continues, but is stronger today than it was 50 years ago. I love my husband more now than I did then, and I will continue to grow to love him. And we've ironed out a lot of those things, and I've learnt now he does say no, and very strongly, and he doesn't always do exactly what I want him to do, as I don't always do as he does. But I had to learn it wasn't John that was going to make my life, it was Jesus Christ. And that he never fails us, he never forsakes us. God wants us to turn things around in our lives. And I've met some tremendously resilient people in my life, and I've learnt and I've gleaned from them. And we need to be learning those things. Jesus Christ was a resilient man. He was our Saviour. And he turned everything around. He turned water into wine. He turned bad situations. He continues. And he will grow something full of life out of the dead things of your life. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that? And I stand, and you know, many people can say things, and people have said to us, oh, what a great example your marriage is. No, we're not an example, we're a testimony. And we are each to be a testimony to one another. We are a testimony that God can take something that is broken and mould it. And we're still being moulded, we're still being grown. We are still learning. But we've understood and we see what comes now and know how to turn that around in him. It's the ability to recover readily from difficulties and adversities and bounce back. And bounce back to where God meant us to be. People, we live in the western suburbs. And all my life, I've heard about the western suburbs, about the battlers, the Aussie battlers that came, the early settlers that came to live in the western suburbs. But the people of the western suburbs have always said, we can do it. We can turn these things around. And it just excites me as I've seen over the years, from the time of a little girl when there was all these paddocks and all these rock fences and thistles growing everywhere, to this thriving community that we have today. And we have churches that are growing and building and communities and things that are happening in the western suburbs. And we need to be proud. We shouldn't think, well, we live over on the other side, away. The Bible Belt is everywhere that the Spirit of God is. And the Spirit of God is here, amen? And so he wants to raise us up of a people of power, a people of overcoming resilience. He wants us to be seen. He wants us to be known. And we've got to stand and say, I can do this because this is what God has called me to. As we think about these fires and these fire-torn places across Victoria, we have seen a very resilient people. A few weeks ago, there was a program on 60 Minutes and there were detailed stories of people that went through those fires and some horrific things, some heart-wrenching things that happened and how people are able to turn their lives around. How much more can we who have Christ, who gave us everything? The Australian flag, I'm proud. I love the Australian flag because I'm old enough to remember I grew up. I was born during the war. And I remember as a little girl, so many of my family that were away. I have an auntie who I learned so much about resilience from. She was 4'8", a little red-headed lady, and she had 4 sons in 4 years, and she had them all home in her bed. And I used to hear these stories about Auntie May and these horrific childbirths that she had without a doctor present. And she reared these 4 sons and struggled and used to patch everything to make a living and work hard, her and her husband. And then those 4 boys all went to different parts of the war, 4 of them. And I remember, I didn't understand, but I remember seeing her sitting with their photos and weeping, thinking, will I ever see my lovely sons? Well, praise God, each of them came back. Each of them, they didn't come back without scars, but they came back. They came back. And I learned a lot about natural resilience from her. But you see, when we have the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a greater ability to be resilient. And so our flag stands for resilience. Our flag stands, and we need to stand and be proud that we are Australian. Be proud that we can stand in this country. And think back. And as the word came this morning, and John and I are all for it, about the generations. We need to be building generations, but what sort of a generation are you building? And I remember as children, and I know John shared with me many times, in our day you'd sit around, there were no TVs, and you'd hear stories, wonderful stories of Aussie battlers, of people who struggled to get this country going, of generations of workers, of farmers, of settlers in this country, of people who fought for this land, people who toiled this land. But today we don't tell us, we do in our family, but many people don't. We used to love to sit around the table with John's father and hear him talk about toiling the land and struggling and about how, you know, every penny was a penny. Today people just chuck their loose change in the drawer and don't worry about it. We need to be considering all those things and we need to be teaching our children. In the Bible times, they sat around and they taught, as we heard from the word this morning, the generations. What are you teaching your generations? We need to be teaching our children so that they will teach their children not only the good things of life and how to be resilient in the natural things of life, but how to be resilient in Jesus Christ. How he calls each one of us and doesn't make things too hard. He has made the way. He's gone through and broken the way. As we went into worship this morning, the Lord was stirring my heart. Come on, come on, come on. Follow, walk, get up, be, have that fire, have that zeal. You have my life within you, my very life, my spirit burns within you. Come on, come on. Walk in me, grow in me. And each of us have the ability to grow strong like that tree. Out of the deadness of your life, out of the disappointment, out of the fear and apprehensions. Maybe you're going through difficulty today. Many are. I thought about it and it was like a confirmation of this word, even as I heard the stories of our resilient men when they were trying to get this great big table. If you want to know about it, ask Gary. And my husband, there's a standing joke that goes on from many years ago that, and I forget whose wedding it was, it must have been Gary Tipping, and we were over getting the hall ready the night before him and Robin's wedding, and there was this great mat, and John knew what he wanted to do with it, but he wasn't conveying it, and he was saying, fold it in half, and of course, the guys, Gary Kerwell and others, had it and they were folding it this way. But no, John meant it had to be folded that way, walk towards each other. And so I said to Gary, if John had been there with a table, he'd have said fold it in half. Well, of course, you can't fold a table in half. But this thing would not fit into the elevator. But you see, you can give up and say, well, we can't take that table, it's too big. But no, praise God, I think it was Jeremy had an idea. They'd taken the legs off it and suddenly they just kept trying and they turned it and it fitted in the lift. They got it in and they got it out. And yet if you ask them, they'd probably say, we don't know how that happened. See, we have to be resilient. We have to call on the Lord and say, how can we do this thing? How can we make it work? We have been given a purpose. And you see, so often we give up and we say, oh, it's too hard. No, the Lord says, find that purpose in me. Know that I've already written your life. We've been talking about living the dash. Well, the Lord Jesus has already written that dash for you. He just wants you to walk very close to him and to find where you are now in that dash. What he's planned for you. God has put within me a resilient spirit. And you see, sometimes we say, oh, that person's lucky. They can work something out. No, it's not luck. It's finding the heart of God. It's finding the purposes of God. God means us all to be resilient. I've had times where, and if we centre on God, I remember years ago we went to, we're up at Ben Wirren, and we decided we were doing some renovations and things, and the ladies and I were in the lounge room, and they said, look, we need to do something with these curtains. And they said, oh, we haven't got a tape measure. And I stood there for a minute and I looked at it and I thought, Lord, we need to measure this thing. And all of a sudden the Lord showed me a wire coat hanger. And so I went into one of the rooms and got this wire coat hanger. And they said, what are you doing? And I unraveled it, untwisted it and pulled it out. And there I had my tape measure. You see, that's resilient. And I see Lorraine and Joan laughing up there. The women used to hold their one finger to their nose and one put the arm straight out. Mine doesn't straighten anymore and you'd have your yard of fabric. So we learn to use what we have, or I've measured things with my thumb. The end of the tip of your thumb to the first joint is about an inch. So we learn to be resilient. We learn to use the things that we've got rather than throwing up our arms in the air and saying, I can't do it. I can't do it. But you see, the Lord Jesus put his spirit within us. And he says, don't dwell in the place that you're in. If you're going through a difficult situation, and many are, because life is full of challenges. We start off, as I said, with all of these dreams. We're going to marry the right guy. We're going to get the best job. We're going to build the house. We're going to have the perfect children. Oh, brother, do we get a shock? There are no such things. And so we suddenly realise that all of our dreams seem to crash because all of this flood of difficulty starts to come towards us. And we have to face all of these things. And so we can throw up our arms. Or what does it say in the 23rd Psalm? Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and the staff, they comfort me. So we are not to dwell in this place of despair, but we are to get up and walk and walk and walk and keep walking forward into the purposes of God, knowing that he has placed things before us. He has made the way for us. Jesus said that he's given us a dream. We spoke a few years ago, one of our themes was to have a dream. Have you a dream? And often when we see that dream being marred, we give up. But we're to hold on to that dream, knowing that God has given us that dream and he's given us a purpose and we will fulfill it. Jesus said in the scripture that he went for the joy that was set before him. Do you know what that joy was? Do you know what that joy? Many people say the joy was heaven, going back to the Father. He knew that he was going back. No, you and I were the joy. We were the joy to see that his life, that he'd come to this earth to give his life for us, and that the fulfillment of that was to see us standing in Christ Jesus today, entering into that oneness, entering into that intimacy, coming back to the heart of the Father. That was the joy that was before him, that he gave his life that we might live, that he might live in us, that we then would glorify his Father. That was the joy. And nothing but nothing hindered that. The Father never took away obstacles from Jesus. There were many things he had to face, but he faced them. He faced them in obedience. In obedience. You know, the problems that you and I are facing today are the very thing that's putting you into a collision course with a great destiny. We so often think the enemy's throwing this at us, when these things are plans and purposes of God to grow us, because we grow stronger out of the obstacles. We grow. Where there's death, there must be life. And that's an opportunity for us to grow. So the obstacles, see them as challenges. See them as opportunities. There is no trial that has come upon you, says the word. Count it all but joy, for these are the things that will grow you into his will. When John and I got married, we had this little text. We still have it. It's in the central part of our home. And it says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua 24:15. And you know, when I got that, I thought, that's wonderful. And that was my heart to do that. And I thought, as I said, that it was just going to happen. Well, it has happened, but it's happened through a lot of tears and a lot of surrendering and a lot of challenges and a lot of trials and a lot of difficulties, but they've broken through into joy. And you see, what I had to learn was the real intimate thing of that is, this is the house that must serve the Lord. It is me. It is me that must surrender my will to his will. It is me that must surrender my purposes and my ways to his ways. It is me that must be decreased that he can be increased in me. It is me that needs to yield in obedience to him. And then he will grow this house that I might grow the other house. And John and I had to be yielded together, as each one of us in marriage, so that that can happen. And so we praise God now that we see the third generation coming and serving the Lord, praising God, praising God, praising God. And that God wants for each one of us. The characteristics of resilience are the ability to bounce back and recover from anything. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Have a "where there's a will, there's a way" attitude. The tenacity to see problems as opportunities. And most importantly, a deep, deep rooted faith in Jesus Christ. There are some great examples of resilience, and some that I thought about were Helen Keller, who was blind and deaf from birth, and she demonstrated a remarkable courage and resilience in learning how to communicate and live with a passion. Nelson Mandela, jailed for decades in South Africa during apartheid, then later leader of the country, and he's still speaking strongly today at a great old, I think he's 90-something, isn't he? So, and Anne Frank, a Jewish girl who kept her famous diary and notes while hiding from the Nazis. Most resilient people, however, are not always famous. Resilient people are just the people like you and I that don't want to be famous, but we want to be put our mark on this world for Jesus Christ. And resilience is not a fluke. It just doesn't happen. It's not just a matter of going through a difficulty and then coming out of resilience. It emerges in people who have a deep determination to overcome serious challenges. It emerges from those that when go through trials that call Jesus Christ in and ask him to show us the way and teach us all about what it means. Resilient people know hardships because that's how they become resilient. Resilient people have integrity. Resilient people know that God is good no matter what their circumstances are. Resilient people persevere. Resilient people can see the big picture because we stop looking down here and look up to him and ask him to let us see it through his perspective. And most importantly, resilient people forgive. There is no resilience, there's no overcoming power unless we learn to forgive. Jesus Christ said we must live a day-to-day life of forgiveness over and over and over again. And you see, if you are forgiving and counting and saying, well, I'm not forgiving that person anymore, I've forgiven him 7 times, well, you don't understand what forgiveness is. You are entering into a legalistic thing, not a grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of his Spirit. We need to forgive. We need to overcome all of those things. If we don't, we become embittered. I had a couple of little things to bring, but I'd forgotten them. But you see, if we don't forgive, I had a stick of spaghetti. And spaghetti is brittle. And if you don't forgive, that's how you become. You become brittle. So that when you pick it up, it snaps in half and breaks into a lot of pieces. But we are meant to be elastic. We are meant to forgive and to be stretched and stretched. And you see, until you face challenges, until you face trials, you don't know how far you can be stretched. I might have thought I was that big and the Lord's really stretched me right out here. And each of us need to be stretched in different lengths, in different measures, because God knows what's in us and what he wants to bring out of us. So don't become brittle and dry through unforgiveness. Don't snap, because you see, we snap. But not just snap in half, we snap at each other when we don't forgive. But when we forgive, we become supple. And you see, when the spaghetti goes into boiling water, it's very intense, it's very hot, but it's to yield the spaghetti so that it then becomes all sloppy and you can slurp it up into your mouth and really enjoy it. And it doesn't break. It's amazing. The same thing when it goes through that purging of that hot water doesn't break. It doesn't snap. You've got to bite it to break it or cut it. It becomes supple. It becomes usable. It becomes nourishing. It becomes good. And that's what God wants from each one of us. The Bible gives us great examples of resilience. And it says in Romans 5:3-4, not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Psalm 71, verses 14 and 20, David says, he shows a pattern of life and he says, you, Lord, will restore my life again. And later on in 20, he says, you will increase my honour and comfort me once again. So David's looking back over his life and remembering God's faithfulness. When you look back, what do you see? Do you see that God has been faithful to you, that he's still faithful to you today? Do you see that you're growing out of those trials and difficulties? Do you see that you've become stronger today than you were yesterday? He's also looking forward and saying, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. Seeing God's faithfulness in the past, praising him for today, despite our circumstances, and choosing to hope in the future, no matter what happens, is a great recipe for resilience. You know, I remember, I praise God for a good memory, and I remember a few years ago now, I went to visit Muriel's dear mother, Irene, who had been diagnosed with a terminal illness and been given a short time to live. And we were sitting there talking together, and she looked at me and she said, "Well, it's not going to happen today. I've got today." What a beautiful thing. We've been talking about thinking that we have 1 month to live. This lady knew that she had a short time to live. And straight away, she wasn't thinking about crying and whatever. It's not going to happen today. I still have today. It's what's important today. Is that how you live? Is that how you think? It's not going to happen today. God has given us today. And if it happens today, I want to know that I've drunk the last drop. Not of what I see of life, but what God has promised me of life. That I've lived it to the full. That I've drunk every drop, the bitter and the sweet, but seen it grow into something purposeful. That's what God requires of us, to be resilient people. When I think of resilience too, I think of my dear, dear mother in the Lord, Olive MacDonald. I learned so much from that woman. She nursed me back to health. She taught me about the greater and the deeper things of God. She taught me about forgiveness and how to be free. And I saw that lady struggle bad health, but she always was laughing and smiling. There was always a twinkle in her eye. Her heart was always to serve God no matter what happened. And she saw the storms of life come against her, financial difficulties, but you see, God gave her a scripture. And it was in Revelation, "For I placed before you an open door and no man will shut it." And she lived that and she believed that, and there was nobody and nothing that was going to hinder what God had purposed in her life for the home of Ben Wirin. And so it still stands today with the same purposes, the same values, the same call on that place. It's a home for women in need, and there are countless hundreds and thousands of women that have gone through that place, and Olive ministered to so many of them, me included. In fact, I was the fulfillment of that dream and that promise, because her husband was wanting to sell the property that had been used as a guest house, and she saw the vision of this for women in need. And out of the blue, she'd never met me, never heard of me, I'd never heard of her, and she heard of this young mother who was in need of someone to love them, someone to take them, someone to care for them. And she and her husband took me into their home and then later settled me into Ben Wirin, where I was restored. And so the work continues today. So life can be difficult, and we have times where things take us by surprise. Things take us by surprise. We think of, it hit our news on Saturday, I think it was, of Michael Jackson. Had everything, he thought. And they showed a clip where he said he wanted to live forever. And the sad thing is he's gone at 50, but the sadder thing is that he was lost. He was mixed up and lost. And you see, if we put our trust in the things of this world, in money and fame and other people, they'll just rob us. Those things will rob you. They will rob you of the very centre and core of your being. Resilience matters to me, as I've said, because over the 50 years of our marriage, we've walked through some very difficult things. Some much have lasted longer than we expected them to, but out of those experiences, I learned hope. I learned to choose resilience, especially when life brought unexpected storms. And I remember people used to say, I remember a lady saying to me, "You've had faced so many things and yet you always come up on top." And I said, "Yes, because we look to Jesus and he lifts us there. It is him that lifts us there. It's how you view something. These things happen. And they've happened. What do you do about it? Do you sit and cry in a corner, or do you say, 'Lord, what are you going to show me in this?'" And I don't mean that, I've reached a place that I just suddenly jump up and do that. I have to work through my time. But over the years, that time has become shorter and shorter. I find God quicker and quicker now than I used to before. I see an example of resilience in Alan and Lorraine. They face many things in their marriage, in their life, in their family, and they are facing something now. And Lorraine said to me this morning, I will not let that happen. And that's not the will of a person, but that is the power of God. Because you see, God places a desire in our heart, a purpose in our heart, and he says, this is the way it's got to go. And we've got to stand up and say, yes, Lord, I will stand in your strength and I will see that happen. In my marriage, in my children, in my family, whoever it is, in my job, in my school, you children at school, it's about learning. It's about accomplishing all that God has given us. Hope is more than just a word. It's a state of being. It's a firm belief that even if you don't know how, even if you don't know when, you know that not only God will come through, but that he has come through, and there is better to come. Life sends rain, but hope dances in puddles. I love to walk in the rain. I love to, still at my age, get in the puddles. I get up there at Broadford with my grandchildren and slush in the puddles when they've got their gun boots on so their mother doesn't growl. But I love that because I didn't do that as a child. I wasn't allowed. It's great. And sometimes even if I'm here, I'll be walking down the street and I can't help the temptation. I don't step over the puddle. I walk through the puddle. Oh, it's so freeing. It's so wonderful not to be restricted to rules and regulations. You see, I'm convinced that life is 10% of what happens to me, but it's 90% of how I react to it. How do you react? Finally, I just want to say, it says in Matthew 7:24-27, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against the house and it fell with a great crash. These two men had several things in common. They both heard the same message. They built the same house. They faced the same storms in life. The only difference was that one of them put into practice the words of Jesus and the other didn't. The difference was not the house, not in the houses themselves, not in the material they were built from. People often get that scripture mixed up with the three little pigs. The one that was built of bricks stood. The wind, the wolf came and blew and couldn't blow it down, but the one that was built of sticks shattered. It's not about that. It's not about what the house was built with. It's where the house was built. Where is your house built? What is your life focused on today? Who is your life focused on today? Who do you hear speaking the loudest to you? The difficulties, the bad words, the bills, the struggles, those that are saying, you can't do that. No, Pat, you can't do that, it won't work. Norm, you can't do that, you can't expect that, Norm. Doris, it's not going to happen. Tula, you can't do that. I know what your desire is, you can't do it. Is that what you're listening to? Or is it the Lord saying, follow me and I will do it because I've already placed it within you. You see, we're not living our life today and it's just happening. It's all written. It was written. The Lord says in Psalm 139, he knew you before you were conceived. As I said last Saturday, that I praise God and thank God for my children whom I loved from the moment I conceived them. But I loved them before. I desired them before. And God has a greater love for us. And before we were conceived, he knew and loved us. And he knew we'd be here today. He knew what you'd be facing today. And he's made the way out. You see, when we come to communion, which is a wonderful time, but so often in our own hearts we centre on Jesus on the cross. Jesus has risen. It is finished, he said. It is finished. All of your pain, all of your suffering. He's not broken on the cross. He's reigning in glory. He's living victorious in you. We need to walk through the cross. We need to gain all that he has given to us. We need to be taking up those glorious things, those blessings, that and growing from glory to glory, taking every blessing that he has given us. Jesus is saying today, your life is either built on obedience or disobedience. The more you obey him, the stronger the foundation of your life becomes, and the more resilient you will become, the more capable you will become of weathering the storms. The storms of life are inevitable, but he has overcome the world. He has overcome every storm that you could possibly go for. The Father sends his blessings upon us. The Father sends his blessings upon us. The storms of life don't destroy us if we don't let them. It's a choice. It's a choice. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, Jesus said, everyone who does the will of the Father, whosoever hears these words and does them. The Lord Jesus does amazing things. They're amazing to us. They're just part of him. But we need to be amazed and we need to be resilient. We need to have the kind of resilience that enables us to weather whatever storm that comes our way, to be able to stand in his confidence, to be able to praise him. Romans 2:7 says, to those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honour and immortality, he will give them eternal life. And with eternal life comes eternal hope and joy and sustenance. The foundation of your life is built on what you do, not what you hear, not what you know, not what you feel, but what you do. It's called obedience. If you do the teaching of Jesus, if you put his words into practice, you will sustain, you will grow. And if you want to know about resilient people, read from, I won't now for time, but read from the Bible, the Message Bible, the people in Hebrews 11. And just read an outline, a detailed outline of the resilience of those men and women, Abraham, Abel, Noah, Enoch, Moses, so many who lived by faith, put their faith into action and lived resilient lives. So this morning, I trust that God has stirred your heart and to know it is a choice. Don't look and think, well, they're lucky. There's no such thing. Some people think they're lucky because they win Tats Lotto. That's often the worst thing that can happen to them. Life is not about luck. It's about you making a choice. And as I said before, I'm convinced that life is 10% of what happens to me, but 90% of how I react to it. What's your reaction today? Is it one of overcoming power? Is it one of confidence in your Lord who is able to stand in you and able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think according to his mighty power at work within you? Father God, we just thank you for your word this morning. Father, I praise you and thank you, Father, for the opportunity to speak your word. And I pray, Lord, that nothing of me would stand but only your word, Lord, by your Spirit would stir the heart of your people to stand strong, Lord, to stand in your resilience, Lord, to, Father God, take hold of everything that you have given them, to hold the dream, to walk in the purpose, and not allow anybody or anything to say, you can't do that, to say, I can, I can and I will because the Word of God, the Spirit of God tells me that this is my plan. Father, I pray that each one here today, your sons, your daughters, no matter what age, Lord, would seek you in obedience, would say, Lord Jesus, you show me the plan and purpose that you have written for my life, that I might walk in it, that I might walk, that I might run and not be weary, that I might rise up with the wings of an eagle, that I might overcome all things, that your Spirit would rise like a fire within me and burn us each one, Lord, to take hold of all that you have given us. And that, Lord, we would not be people that would stand and say, oh, woe is me, woe is me, look at what has come upon me, but that we might see your resurrection power and stand and say, Lord, as you lift me, I can do this. That, Lord, we would not be a people that would look out and see the misery of the world and say, oh, my heart aches for this one, my heart aches for that situation. But rather, Lord, we would be doers. We would raise our hands. We would stretch out our hands to the broken. That we would realize that the youngest of us, Lord, have so many riches. Lord, we think of the team that have gone to the Philippines. And Lord, they felt insecure, some of them, and concerned they had nothing to give. We have everything to give in you, Lord. Lord, teach us to open our mouths and to see and to prove how your Spirit will speak through us as we trust in you to bring life into the lives of others. So, Lord, we just thank you this morning. Just empower us and strengthen us that, Lord, you've called us to be Grow Church, that we are growing something supernatural, that we are growing in a mighty power, Lord, of your strength and your authority to overcome all things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.